I want to read John 20, 1 through 18 one more time. We heard it earlier, but I just want you to hear it again. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and she wept. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, and "I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, 'I am ascended to the Father and your Father, to my God and to your God.'" Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that what he had said these things to her. And then again, I want to read these words from John 20, verses 21 through 23. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Lord has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." And then finally, this passage that I want to speak out of a little bit this evening, Romans 6, verses 1 through 14. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death, in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as the instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." Christ is risen from the dead. It is a fact. a fact that truly matters, a fact that changes all of life for everyone, including everyone here. The resurrection is the hook on which all of history hangs. And it really did happen. Mary recognizes Jesus. Peter and John recognize that he's risen from the dead. Later, he appears to them and to others. Even Thomas, one of the disciples who doubts that Jesus is alive, that he's risen, even Thomas encounters him and touches him and no longer doubts. Around 500 people, we're told from Scripture, see him at various points and at different places after he walks out of the grave. Skeptics will say, of course, that they were all lying. They weren't telling the truth. They wanted to cover over the fact that he was dead so that they could perpetuate the myth, so that they could keep the movement going. They'll say that they stole the body, the disciples stole the body and hid it. They try to perpetuate the lie, right? That might have been possible. That might have been true, but the thing is, nobody will ever die for a lie, right? You will tell if people aren't going to go all the way to death, right? To perpetuate a myth, if they stole the body and hid it to keep it going, and then they said, well, if you continue to profess that, you're going to die. Well, then you're going to go, well, okay, I was just funning, man. I'm not serious about that, right? People may be convinced that Elvis is still alive, but if someone holds a gun to their head and tells them to admit it, that he's not really working at a gas station somewhere in Yuma, and that he's really 6 foot under, and if you don't answer correctly, you die, well, then you're going to tell the truth. Yeah, Elvis is dead. Most of these disciples died horrific deaths, holding fast to the truth that Jesus rose from the dead. It's unlikely that they would choose to go to their death, to be tortured, to die in horrendous ways, if they knew for a fact that Jesus was dead. No, Jesus was risen. He's risen indeed. So why does it matter? I mean, what's the big deal about that? Who cares? So some sort of weird miracle happened and Jesus is restored to life after being dead for a couple of days. Yeah, it's kind of fascinating. Scientifically, it's a great question to investigate. We could kind of go into all that, but it's not particularly earth-shattering. Weird things happen. We read about it all the time in the National Enquirer. Those kinds of things happen. It could have happened. Something weird. Who knows? See, it would be not very earth-shattering, except that it is. It's life-changing because it's been God's plan from the beginning. God planned all of this. God planned this. God planned Carrick and Rose going under and dedicating their children and the others who were baptized this evening. He planned all that. 2 Timothy 1, verses 9 through 10 says, "The power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus," listen to this, "before the ages began, and which now have been manifested through the appearance of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." It matters. It matters to me and it should matter to you. The beautiful thing about what happened, this work, this resurrection, this God, Jesus walking out of the tomb, the amazing thing about that is that now we don't have to keep on sinning. We don't have to keep being messed up. We don't have to keep lying and cheating and stealing and doing the stuff we do. We don't have to hate each other. We don't have to do all the things that we've done. This morning, Saoirse was talking to Lane, or Lane was talking to Saoirse, and Saoirse, who's not yet two, said, "No. No, Mommy." And Lane said, "You don't talk to me that way. What? That's not how we talk to Mommy. You need to apologize." And Saoirse said, "No, Mommy." And so Lane repeated herself and said, "No, that's not how we talk to Mommy. That's not how you may talk to me. You don't get to do that. You don't get to say that. Saoirse, apologize, stop it." And Saoirse said, "No, Mommy." Now, Saoirse is not yet two, so she doesn't know that she doesn't have to continue this, right? She can stop sinning. She can start talking to nicely to Mom. She doesn't have to keep up her little rebellion. When you're under two, it's cute. When you're 22, it's not cute at all. When you're my age, it's really ugly. We don't have to keep on sinning. We don't have to. We're invited into a different way of being. We can do that because we can experience relationship with God. Relationship with God. God chooses us. He calls us to himself. This weekend has been kind of an interesting weekend for me, as Easter weekends often are. My son, Justin, brought his two goddaughters to come and be with us, as he does every year and every holiday. Justin is a single man, never been married, has no children of his own, but he knew Tara and Jolie's mom and dad, and Tara and Jolie have had really tough lives, and Justin has chosen to be a father to them. He's not, but he chooses to love them. Tara's 19, Jolie's 13. Jolie is missing part of her brain. She's a handful to take care of. She needs to have her food turned into mush. She can't walk. And she's the light of our lives, as is her sister Tara. They bring us such joy. We're in deep relationship with them because we've adopted them into our love. And that's what God does for us. He adopts us into his love. He calls us. Every single one of you sitting here is adopted into his love. It's a beautiful thing. It's what God does. We can experience relationship with God because of the resurrection, because Jesus dies for our sin. He creates this space, this place, for us to experience true, deep, intimate relationship with the God of the universe. Because of the resurrection, we can have our sin washed away. There's something amazingly freeing about having sin washed away. When it's confessed and acknowledged, when it's brought to light, when it can be let go of because Jesus washes it away. Last night we had our Easter feast, and Jolie didn't want to come to the table to eat, and Justin had made this wonderful mush of, you know, ham and my cheesy potatoes and some grilled vegetables, and normally she just eats the stuff up and thinks it's the most fabulous food ever, and goes, good, more, moi, moi, moi. That's her, moi, moi is her word for more, more. And so, but she didn't come, she wouldn't eat, and she was down in the hall, and then pretty soon we were playing some music, and she came in, and she was covered in filth of her own making. She had a blowout like there has never been a blowout in the history of mankind. She had exploded, right? And it was dirty and stinky, and there was the carpet and the clothes and her hair. And you know what Justin did? He just picked her up and stripped off her clothes, and we threw her in the bathtub, and she was excited. She started singing and clapping and going, yeah, yeah, yeah. She's cheering, and she's splashing water. The bathroom was a shambles. It's awesome. The kid knows how to celebrate being clean, and that's what we get to do. When our sins are washed away, the baptism reveals that beauty to us and shows us that we can have our sins washed away. You can walk in a freedom that's amazing. You can splash around in the bathtub and go, yeah, I'm clean. And because of that, we can make good choices. We can start choosing well. We can start making the right kind of choices instead of the choices we've made maybe in the past. One of Joe Lee's favorite things is music. Matter of fact, her nickname for me is Song. She calls me Song because we always sing together. But she has very particular tastes in music. So if you're playing music, she will tell you whether she likes a song or doesn't like a song. But she doesn't converse like normal people do. She converses and tells you her choices very, very differently. If she hears Kenny Chesney song, she goes, dance! And she starts dancing and wiggling and shaking and just getting all excited. Dance! Dance! And that's her word. Dance! That's how you know she loves the song. She makes a good, that's a good choice. If Lady Gaga comes on, she goes, blech, blech, blech. She hates Lady Gaga. I don't know why. Kenny Chesney, yeah, Lady Gaga, blech, right? We can make choices. She makes choices. We all get to make choices. I can choose not to sin. I don't have to do the things that I've always done. I can make different choices because of the resurrection. We have things in common with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? We become brothers. Jesus refers to the disciples as his brothers. He refers to the women there as his sisters. We have this thing in common with Jesus, and that means we join him in suffering, and we join him in joy. And the suffering is real. In this world of pain, in this world of struggle, in this sin-sick world, there is real, true suffering. The village is about bringing about healing one person at a time, and that's our longing and our hope and our desire because we are hurting and we need healing. In this world, Jesus says, you will have trouble, and we do. Some of you, I cannot imagine the level of suffering that you go through. And Jesus suffered a horrendous death. A life where everyone at the end rejects him and God turns his back. That's suffering. But Jesus says if we don't join in his suffering, we cannot join in his joy, in his glory. And his glory reveals everything in the end and will bring it all together. We have that in common with Jesus because of the resurrection. We can move from keeping the law to experiencing grace. 2.5 years ago, my mother died, and we were going to have the funeral, and we had the graveside service first, and Jolie had to be in a wheelchair, which she was frustrated by, and if it just sits there, right? Like she has to move. She wants to move around. She wants to dance. And so so she was frustrated. And then we came back to the church where we were going to have the memorial service, and Justin released the brakes on the wheelchair. Now, Jolie couldn't, up until that time, didn't know how to operate she didn't have this coordination, the dexterity to be able to operate the wheelchair. So she would kind of jerk around in it, but all of a sudden, she figured out how to make it move. And she said, "Dance!" And she started just skating, going all over the whole back room we're trying to set up for after. She's banging into people, knocking tables over. She's having a ball. It's the most exciting time she's ever had. And then we went into the church for the funeral, and Justin wheeled her to the front and where we sat as a family, and he locked those wheels. Grumble, grumble, grumble. You know, like the law took in again, right? Like she couldn't just be free. And she was not happy. And then afterwards, Justin wheeled her back to the back where we were going to have, you know, sandwiches and jello salad, because that's what you have at a Dutch funeral, and chips, ham sandwiches. It's kind of what we always did. But anyway, we're going to have all that, and he releases those brakes, and she takes off with sheer joy and delight. That's what we're allowed to do. We move from, I got to keep all the rules, I got to get all the rules right, I got to do everything. No, we don't have to anymore. The rules have been kept for us by Jesus' work, by his resurrection, by his offering his life for ours. We get to experience grace. We are free. In John, it says we can forgive sins. Isn't that amazing? We can be free to not be offended, to not be hurt, to not be attacked, to not make bad choices. We can be free to, when people hurt us and cause us pain, we can forgive it, and it's forgiven. Isn't that beautiful? That what you've been offered, the forgiveness that you've been offered in Christ Jesus for your sin, you can turn around and offer forgiveness to others. Yes. Will you choose these things? Will you choose the joy of the resurrection? Outside the power of the resurrection, you don't have a prayer to live a life of fulfillment and joy. But because of the resurrection, you can cheer and clap and dance and find the deepest of deep joys. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, you're risen. Thank you for freeing us from our sin and our bondage to death. Thank you for making us alive in you. In Jesus' name, amen.